All right, we have one more, Peter.
I'm trying. I think, I have to agree with Tim, that I think that front deck and stairs will add aesthetically to the aesthetics of the building. It needs something, if you rebuilt the steps just as they were, we'd still really be at the same spot to the front property line. I think your willingness to give up some of your pavers in the back and get to a 75% coverage, I commend that. And that weighs heavily on my decision to vote in favor of it.
Thank you.
Greer Gaskell.
I'm going to vote yes also. Thank you for working with the board. Thank you for the board. Good luck.
Thank you.
Yes.
You have been approved, and thank you.
Thank you very much.
And overall, thank you for working with us. And we had to feel our way on this one. It wasn't the easiest to figure out. John and Brian, when you come in next time, can you help with figures ahead of time, please? Well, I understand that, because you've got to be faster. That's all I was saying, but thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calculating, John, and so on. Brian?
Yes.
Have a nice day, but see if you can have one of those numbers for us.
The next couple.
Yeah, because we don't always have this time.
Just hold on to 200.
All right. We have one more case. Okay.
And Dan, you have.
Okay, we're going to go to three North Buffalo Avenue. Mr. Callahan, you're back. You're back.
Brian, just a second. Is it?
I'm out.
I literally just learned, Brian. Apparently, Mr. Smith's on the 200-foot list, so he can't participate. And then Commissioner Kriebel is a D variance, so that leaves us with six.
Do you permit people to listen to transcripts for a seventh vote if need be? Or would your preference be that we bump to the 23rd when you have a full board?
So Brian's question is, if he puts his case on, it's a use variance application, so he needs five affirmative votes no matter how many people participate. So the board's typically lenient in a situation where we don't have a full board, so right now we have six. So that means instead of five of seven, he needs five of six, puts him at a slight disadvantage. So we've always been pretty lenient on the applicants if they wish to postpone so they can get the full board. That's the fair thing to do. His question is if he puts on his, he could put on his case tonight. If it comes down to one person, one vote, do we have that person listen to the tape and then reconvene at our next meeting and have that one person cast the deciding vote?
Or would you even vote tonight?
You could put your presentation on and then we can just come back for the entire vote.
If we're not getting a vote tonight, then we'd rather come back. I don't want to try to put on testimony now, not have questions asked, not open to the public, not go through anything, not vote, and then come back 2 weeks later and then start getting it. And say, well, what happened?
But he's saying you can't have a vote, just have to get all
yeah,
five.
Yeah, or all five, or if I'm 5-1, I'm okay. If it's a 4-2 vote, then the seventh person who didn't listen to the tape and cast the deciding vote.
How can you vote either? So.
Yeah, they can.
That's the cleanest. The cleanest way is to not do it that way, but I don't want to.
It's up to the board. I mean, if the board wants to hear the case tonight, I mean, we would do the case tonight, reserving the right that if it became a 4-2 vote tonight, that I had the opportunity to have the seventh person who went, listen to the tape, and cast the vote on the 23rd. If it's a 5-1 or 6-0 vote tonight, then I don't need that person.
That is permissible. At this point in time, I'll poll the board.
But it's our decision.
It's cleaner, obviously, to have everybody here and vote and hear everything at one time.
Well, it's really our, if he's willing, if Mr. Callahan said, "I don't want to do that," I think we would defer to him. He's saying, "I'm willing to put the case on," and then that kind of puts it back on the board to say, "Okay, we're okay with that." And to me, it is up to the board, and it sounds like Mr. Callahan's okay. We should identify who would be, okay, it wouldn't be Mr. Smith, it wouldn't be Mr. Commissioner Kriebel, it wouldn't be Commissioner Landgraf.
Roman.
No, Wendy's going to vote tonight. It would be Roman.
Then you have Mr. Halpin or Mr. Cooper?
No, it'd be Roman.
Roman. Probably Roman.
Right.
And then we'd have to get them agree to listen to the tape, which I'm sure, you know, I don't want to speak for Roman, but...
I think he would do it.
I do also.
What's the board pleasure? You want to hear the case tonight or postpone it?
Case not going to take that long. I have steps to get in the house.
All right, board, speak up.
If I feel as if Mr. Callahan is willing, if he doesn't get the vote he wants and is willing to have somebody else listen to the transcripts, it's up to him.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Other board members?
I feel the same way. It's Brian's call.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's Brian.
Gambling tonight?
Everyone agree?
Feeling right.
You're going to hear the case. Brian?
You don't have a license in the way.
Brian?
Yes.
We're hearing the case.
Ready? Okay.
Saddle up. Let's go.
We're ready.
That's the last piece.
That's the last piece. Let the record reflect that Mr. Commissioner Kriebel is now having to depart from the board.
Take some popcorn and beer for me.
Okay.
Because he is a... Wait a minute. Mr. Kriebel is departing because he has a conflict because of his charge, his rating as a board member, and cannot hear the case.
Commissioner.
And he's a commissioner.
And Mr.
Can I keep you here for 30 seconds after we get sworn in?
I'll be here.
Very good. Thank you.
And Mr. Smith is recusing himself as someone on the 200-foot list.
And he's on the 200-foot list, and let the record reflect, he is removing himself from the board, physically. That's it. You want to do a preamble on this?
Sure.
Okay. Have everybody, you need sworn in first, and then we'll do a preamble with Roger, and then you go ahead and hold that.
You want me to swear my people in first?
Yes.
All right. Mr. Barnhart, Mr. Weiss?
Mr. Barnhart's already sworn.
Yes, new application. We'll get you real quick. And Mr. Weiss, just your name and address for the record.
Peter Weiss, 101 North Washington Avenue, Margate.
John.
John Barnhart, 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, before you start, are both of you just testifying as professionals?
Yes, sir.
Are both of you as professionals? Okay. Let the record reflect that Mr. Barnhart and Mr. Weiss are, their credentials are in order and have appeared before this board. Thank you.
Mr. Barnhart is an engineer and planner, and Mr. Weiss is an architect.
Correct.
You want to go to Mr. McLaren now?
Mr. McLaren is going ahead.
I'll be brief. My report is based on the application of Dr. Frank Brzezanskis. Announced that correctly?
Yes.
Application of Dr. Brzezanskis, 3 North Buffalo Avenue, Block 125, Lot 3, Ventnor, New Jersey, seeking a D variance for use within the R4 Single Family Zoning District. Substantial benefit is not part of this, but it's a use variance. Materials reviewed on the bottom of page 2, continued, or bottom of page 1, continued on top of page 2. The applicant seeks relief from the City of Ventnor's land use requirements for a D variance or a use to construct a new two-unit dwelling where two-unit dwellings are not permitted. It's a duplex. The site was previously approved for a conditional use in 1987 to permit a chiropractor's office on the ground floor or first floor, where residential existed on the second floor. The lot is one of the larger lots within the block 125. All bulk standards are being met, which I think that's an important thing to see on this application. Zoning chart is on page 2, continued on page 3. The variance required is a use variance where single family detached homes or duplexes are the permitted use within the, or not the permitted use within the R4 single family zoning district, and a duplex or two unit dwelling is proposed. Let me say that again. Whereas single-family detached homes are the permitted use when they are for a single-family zoning district, and a duplex unit, which is not permitted, is proposed. And I cite the section in the ordinance, no waivers are requested. Comments are as follows: it is an oversized lot, it can't be subdivided by right, so they couldn't put two units there, separated on individual lots. All parking requirements are being met. All bulk standards for the R4 criteria are being met. Landscape requirements are being met. Sidewalk, and my recommendations are, on page four, to follow the testimony and the proofs required, and base your decision on the proofs required and present it to you, to convince you that the use variance is in compliance with the master plan and all the other requirements. I'm not going to beat a dead dog, so that's all I have.
Okay. Brian, please proceed.
Good evening, Brian Callahan, law firm Callahan Thompson Thompson, behalf of Dr. Frank Tattany. Very quickly, 3 North Buffalo, all jurisdictional requirements have been met, R4 zoning. The applicant's intending to demolish the existing building, which houses a chiropractic office and a house. As Mr. McLaren indicated, it turns into proof. It received conditional approval in 1987 for that particular use. In fact, Mr. Cook was the only man standing on that board, still left, who voted in favor of it, and the board members have gone by the wayside. It was approved then, operated until a number of years ago, when Dr. Bazanskas moved to Florida. The intent is to demolish the property and to construct a new duplex. The board understands, the duplex is not permitted in the R4 zone. We believe, and I think Mr. Barnhart, when he goes through his testimony, will show you that this is compatible with the neighborhood based upon how the R4 zone lays out, what are the existing duplexes already existing in the block surrounding us, the density of the neighborhood, the fact that most of the single-family homes that exist on the two blocks are non-conforming. When you go back and look at the zoning history, this was originally an R7 zone, you'll see that most of the lots are 30-foot lots on the street, on both sides of the street, with Hickory side, Buffalo side, Richard side. We have an exhibit to show that. Once again, we're building this with no variance relief whatsoever. Your front yards, your side yards, your rear yards, your building coverage, your lot coverage, your landscaping, all comply. And the building that exists now, non-compliant from a flood point of view, front yard setback 2 feet, side yard setback 2 feet. Once again, they'll be removed, made compliant. So that gives you a little bit of background. Let me call Mr. Barnhart first, walk you through the site plan, and then I'll have Mr. Weiss go through you from a design element, give you an idea of what we're using for materials, et cetera. John?
Okay, the exhibit I have in front right now is the variance application plan that was submitted with the package. I'm just going to quickly walk you through the existing conditions and then get into the proposed plan. As Brian pointed out, the property is a 60-foot wide lot, 62 and a half feet deep. It has a structure sitting on it toward the north side of the site, in the gray shade area that you can see here. The two-story structure, and as Brian mentioned, it received approval and was occupied as both a doctor's office and a residence for many years. The building is in the greatest of conditions. It doesn't meet any current flood standards. The ground level area is, or the first floor is essentially at ground level. The building was damaged during Sandy, and it's time for this property to be redeveloped. The proposal this evening is to develop a two-unit building on the property in the configuration that you see here on our plan. There will be side-by-side units, each having their own entrance and their own access, driveway access from Buffalo Avenue. As planned, all of the setbacks, the coverage, the heights, the parking, all of your bulk standards, all the landscaping requirements will be met with the application. There are no C variances being requested with the application. So if you go right down and look at the zoning schedule and look at both my zoning schedule and Mr. McLaren's zoning schedule, you see the building as a development totally complies with the ordinance. The only issue this evening is that we are in an R4 zone and a two-unit building is not permitted at this location. We have a what I'm going to call two-unit building there now, partly commercial, partly residential. But I think more importantly, because we are proposing to demolish that, is showing you why it's appropriate this location because of its compatibility with the neighborhood. So all of my testimony is relative to the use variance. So as you know, with any use variance, you have to put forth special reasons that exist pursuant to municipal land use law that are appropriate to this application that establish the positive criteria or why the variance can be granted. And in this specific case, we believe that there are a number of them that actually apply to the application. First and foremost, we are demolishing a building that is non-compliant to the flood standards, non-compliant building code standards. So we are building, we're proposing a building that will provide protection from fire, flood, and other natural and man-made disasters, which is a purpose of zoning. Secondarily, we believe that we are providing a desirable visual environment through creative design techniques and providing a building that we think will be aesthetically pleasing and will enhance this neighborhood of Buffalo Avenue. So we think that's a second purpose of zoning that is advanced with the application. As they've already identified, we are proposing to meet all of your bulk standards. With regard to setbacks, with regard to coverage, with regard to landscaping, with regard to parking. So based upon that, we believe that this application promotes the purpose of zoning that says we are providing appropriate or sufficient air, light, and open space with the application. But I think most importantly, and the purpose of zoning that's advanced here that is very particular to this specific application, is that we believe that this application creates appropriate population density for this site and for the neighborhood. So how do I prove that? So what we did, and I'm sure you some or all of you saw the letter Mr. Callahan prepared, what we did is we looked at the neighborhood, looked at the tax map, looked at the zoning to understand what's around this property, how the block was developed, what is the zoning, but more importantly, how does the area exist? This exhibit that we've created, I'll go through the color coding of it, but the red full block you see there on Buffalo Avenue is the subject property. As I mentioned, 60 foot wide lot. From scouring the neighborhood, what we come upon is that all of the greens are existing two-unit buildings, existing duplex buildings. The preponderance of them are on 30 foot lots, but there are some on 60 foot lots and a couple on 45 foot lots. But what we found interesting is that all of the purple lots, while they're single family houses, they're 30 foot lots. So even the single family homes, which are permitted uses in the zone, are on 30 foot wide lots. So what you have here is when you look at this at these two lots, the reason I chose these two lots is because we believe that's what is affected by an application like this. Properties are next to it, properties behind it, properties across the street. They are the people, that's the neighborhood, they're the ones that are directly affected. So when you look at this, what you see is that you only have 9 lots in these 2 blocks that actually comply to the land use ordinance. And of those 9 lots, 2, 4, 6 of them are on Veteran Winchester Avenue. So in these 2 blocks, you only have 1, 2, 3 lots that are actually conforming to the zone and built with single family homes on. So what we have a real mixture of land uses here. So we have duplexes on 30 foot lots, we have duplexes on 60 foot lots, we have singles on 30 foot lots. Now look at our property. We have a 60 foot wide lot. So the preponderance of density is a unit on a 30 foot lot. Maybe it's a 60 foot lot that has a duplex on it, but it's a unit on a 30 foot wide piece of property. That's exactly what we are proposing. We are completely surrounded by that exact same density. Next to us, we actually have a duplex with 2 units on it. So that's actually 2 units on a 30 foot lot. Directly behind us, we have 2 duplexes, one on a 60 foot lot, one on a 30. Diagonal to us, that purple lot 24, it's a single family house, but it's a 30 foot lot. So the density of that property is the same as what we propose for our application. Go down Buffalo Avenue, ahead toward Winchester. These are all single family houses, but they're on 30 foot lots. Our property is 2 units on a 60-foot lot, essentially 1 unit for each 30 feet of lot frontage. So we believe that this is an extremely appropriate request in this specific block, in this specific neighborhood, which is why the purpose of zoning is advanced to establish appropriate population densities. Albeit, it does not comply to your land use ordinance. And the R4 zoning district does not permit a two-family building, but that's why there's a zoning board, and that's why there is a use variance process, that you need to look at exactly how the area is developed and understand what is appropriate at a specific location. So, and we believe that what is proposed is appropriate. The reason that we can justify that is because we're not asking for any other variances. If I come in here with a 60-foot lot and two units on it, and I need front yard setback, and I need landscape coverage variances, and I need rear yard setback, and I need height, well, I've kind of just disproven the fact that lot can handle two units. But Mr. Weiss has done a great job developing a two-unit building on this property that doesn't need any of those variances. So that, in our opinion, creates the proof that the lot can handle the density that we are proposing. It's 100% compatible, in my opinion, with this neighborhood. And we believe for that reason, that purpose of zoning is advanced. The positive criteria we believe is clearly established by the four purposes that I have put forward.
And let me jump in real quick. As the board may recall, across the street from this property is 8 North Buffalo, which the board granted approval on 2 months ago for a duplex that was going to be demolished and rebuilt on the 30-foot lot at 8 North Buffalo. So that's been approved. The board may also recall that the board has done 3 other projects of similar nature. A number of years ago, we did Uncle Gino's house on North Wissahickon. Last year, we did the North Newark property, which is the same side by side. 6 months ago, we did Deborah Paz's house across from the library. Same type of thing, side by side in those locations in doing it. All have been built, all have been done, same similar properties, non-variant, with no real impact on the neighborhood. And I say that, no impact on the neighborhood for these properties, because I live on the corner. I live on the corner of Wissahickon and Winchester, so I'm one of the 4 lots that does comply in doing this. You also, Mr. Barnhart, talk a little bit about the commercial, that where this property is located is not a pristine single-family neighborhood. We have...
Yes, I didn't talk about the yellow, the frontage of Becker Avenue is, I think, the Amuir, the mixed-use area, which the most commercial. The yellow are commercial spaces already, that just adds to the mixture of the uses that we have around us. We believe it was been selected, or how this plan has, this property has been selected to be redeveloped, is the appropriate land use for the site.
You, going to the negative criteria, first prong generally talks about, is there a substantial detriment to the character of the neighborhood or the public good? In your opinion, do you see any substantial detriments?
No, I would argue that from a substantial detriment to the public good, I would argue that this application is very appropriate for the neighborhood. If we were asking for parking variances or some other things, it would be a little bit hard to make that statement. But because of the fact that we comply all the way around, this is appropriate and there's no substantial detriment to the public good. Understanding the prior application at a doctor's office, and I read that resolution things, we believe that commercial location or commercial use of this site, while it had some discussion in the prior resolution, that can become problematic for the neighborhood, especially in the neighborhood of density. Because if you happen to get a doctor that buys the building and wants to occupy the space and it turns out to have a lot more patients than maybe Mr. Kuzanskis did, it can create an issue. So we believe that residential use on this site is the most appropriate. We believe that the density we propose on this site works well with this neighborhood.
And the second prong is there a substantial detriment to the zone plan or zoning ordinance?
So I've already kind of gone through that. We believe that there are a litany of purposes of zoning that are advanced with the application. And we believe that because we are complying in all regards to your ordinance, but for the use, we have proven that this site can handle the use that's being proposed. It's not creating a traffic issue. It's not creating a parking issue. It is not creating a blockage of air, light, and open space. So we believe that there is no substantial detriment to the zone plan for zoning ordinance, especially given the character of the neighborhood.
I don't have any other questions, Mr. Barnhart. I was going to call Mr. Weiss unless you have some questions, Mr. Barnhart. Hearing none, let me call Mr. Weiss then. Pete, on behalf of Lorraine, please take the microphone. I can stand.
Better yet. Okay, so we designed this building as an elevated building so that it takes care of the flood concerns by having the ground floor just being masonry and floodproof materials, and provides parking, adequate parking, by having a garage and a parking space in front. And the way the units are organized, you know, as I said, the ground floor is the entrance and garage. First floor is all the living space. The second floor has three bedrooms, a den, and two bathrooms. And then the master suite's on the top floor. And we have decks on the east level in the front of the building to provide some outdoor space and give some depth to the elevations.
Type of materials we're going to be using?
So the siding will be, well, at the ground level will be masonry, so that'll be stuck over the block. And then the siding will be cedar impressions and some probably fiber cement. There's AZEK in the front. There's a couple accent pieces and, you know, asphalt shingles.
And once again, based on your on the elevations and landscaping-wise, we're providing adequate landscaping, adequate shrubs, adequate trees and everything else, so we're going to comply with the vendor ordinance?
Yes, we meet all the bulk requirements, yes.
Once again, I don't have any questions of Mr. Weiss. I would turn it over to the board.
At this time, board members, do you have any questions of Mr. Weiss or Mr. Barnhart?
These are three-bedroom units. Is that what I'm seeing here?
Four.
Four. I'm missing a bedroom. I'm not seeing
three on the second and one on the third.
If I may, I find it interesting that this used to be part of the R7. I'm trying to understand why it was put into the R4.
And the reason I kept Mr. Smith around is because even though he's within the 200 feet, he's on the other side of Richards Avenue. And in the event that the board needed additional testimony, I talked to him this afternoon, because I believe that there are additional duplexes on his side of the street also that, you know, would also once again show that within that 200 foot area in doing it.
So the difference between the R4 and the R7 is you would need a conditional use variance versus a use variance.
Correct.
It's still, the only thing I can think that they changed it to the R4 was maybe to preserve some of the larger lots, and you're still preserving it.
Yeah, we agree.
At this time, I'd like to open up to the public. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Yes, ma'am. Please come forward. Be sworn.
You can just state your name and address. I know I saw you. Go ahead.
I'm not that tall. Hi, Angel DiPolito. I live at 1 North Buffalo. So I don't oppose the application, but I do have some questions about the parking.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So when I reviewed the application indicated there are four parking spaces. When I reviewed the plans, it indicated that there were two proposed. So I guess my question is, are the garages that are proposed two-car garages that would accommodate four cars? Because contrary to the testimony that's been provided by the planner, parking is an issue, and the density on this particular lot is going to increase by more than twice of what exists currently. And the folks who own the property now are not there almost all year, but for maybe 2 weeks a year. So my personal experience is that parking is an issue. Particularly because we have a doctor's office next door and, you know, particularly during the week and during the day. So I guess my question then is the parking really adequate for the two residential units and the number of bedrooms that are located on that lot, or is the parking that is required only required for the single lot itself?
Okay.
The answer to the question, we're providing two parking spaces per unit. That is the requirement by the city.
Okay. That answers my question. And I have no other
questions. Well, that was very concise, very well spoken. Thank you very much. All right. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on this application? There is no signaling or seeing no request, so therefore the public portion of this application is now closed. Do you have any further you wish to add?
Just very briefly, we think it's a good application. It's a property that has in complete need of repair, as Mr. Barnhart said, below flood elevation. The side yard setback for the existing house now is non-conforming. It gives us an opportunity to conform with larger than potential side yard setbacks. You're required to have four, we're having five. You're having a house that complies with all of the bulk variance relief that's required. And when you look at Mr. Barnhart's exhibit, I think Mr. McLaurin put it right. This was really an R7 zone that for some reason was converted to R4. So when you looked at the exhibit, the rest of the streets developed on 30-foot lots. That's how the street was completely developed, other than the four corners. My corner on Wissahickon, corner on Buffalo, and the two corners up top. Other than that, so out of the 46 lots, take those four away, you have three other lots in the two full blocks that comply, which means that everybody else that does something to their property is coming before your board because they're non-conforming. Once again, maybe something that Roman and Jay will look at from a zoning perspective, because I don't think that was the intent at that point in time. But when you look at this application, I think Mr. Barnhart said it right. If we were in here saying, I need height, I need side yards, I need landscaping, I can't put trees in, I think that this is a good application. When you look at the one that you just did across the street on the 30-foot lot and let the person build the two units there, granted, we're keeping the tree and keeping the bird in doing it, so we're doing those things, but this is a much cleaner application and we would ask for you to approve it. Thank you.
Okay. You are complete?
We are complete.
And your acceptance of Mr.
McLaurin's report, complete.
Okay. Thank you. At this time, board members, do you have anything further to add? Roger, do you have anything further to add?
No, do I not?
Okay.
Brian, this was a doctor's office, right?
This was his chiropractic office.
So there's more parking and more traffic for a doctor's office.
Well, we thought that there was more traffic. That and combined with, as Angel said, the corner property is a doctor's office that goes across the entire front, and there's a number of condominiums in that property also. You know, and people who work on that street, across the street from that, you have the pizza parlor, you have a whole block of single family attached, then you have a whole other block of commercial, which is, you know, Sunday's ice cream. I know it well.
Okay. At this time, Leo, could you charge the board, please, with an affirmative resolution?
Sure. So it's a D variance application. Someone needs to make a motion to approve a use variance to allow the two-family dwelling or duplex. I think our ordinance calls side-by-side a two-family dwelling, if we haven't changed that yet. But in any event, to approve the two-family slash duplex use on this property in the R4 zone, which does not permit that use. And the conditions will just be anything in Mr. McLaurin's report, unless otherwise addressed on the record tonight.
Okay. I have a motion and a second, please.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Okay. I have a roll call vote. Please state your reasons.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote yes on this application. First of all, I believe that the chiropractic office has a higher use rating than a residential unit. So their quasi interpretation that there were two units here, but it's not fully defined, though the use is particular. The building is a bit older. It can be beneficial to the city to replace the building with a more modern structure. Financially for the city, as well as for the appearances and the zoning purposes and the housing stock. There appears to be a fair amount of positive criteria in that the developmental plan of this particular lot is relatively consistent with that in the block. I did physically check, and I concur with Mr. Barnhart, of all the number of duplexes in the block, and my numbers match yours, so we are incongruous in that. So the development pattern is there. It's a large lot. There's another lot right behind it, which is similar size, which has a duplex on it, that functions very well. So with that, with the positive criteria, and that it's attempting to meet our zoning criteria, our master plan criteria, So I vote yes.
Lorraine Salata.
You know, primarily we always worry about density in these neighborhoods because they are tight to begin with. But this lot, to me, seems very well suited for the proposed application. It can't be subdivided. Brian might try, but it's not going to happen. And, you know, I just think it's a suitable lot for what they're proposing, so I'll vote in favor of it.
Sorry. Mike Wiesen.
Mr. Weiss did a wonderful job of this drawing. I can't stop looking at it so much. He's very good what's on there. The explanation by John really explained it in their neighborhood perfectly. And just the fact that they're meeting all the bulk requirements, I don't know how, I don't want to speak for anybody else, how anybody could say no, so I vote in favor.
Greer Gaskell.
I also vote yes. I think the structure that's on there needs to come down. Well, the doctor's office is probably the neighborhood is paying the parking.
Peter Taco.
I like this development. I like the fact that it takes a non-compliant building, takes it down. We're going to have a new building. It's going to meet FEMA requirements. The fact that it meets all the bulk standards, you know, kind of shows that it's appropriate. Density for that property, maintains all the air, light, and open space, and for those reasons, I vote in favor of it.
Wendy Bartlett?
I also vote in favor of it. I was initially against it because I thought it wasn't consistent with our master plan, but that was very helpful to show what the neighborhood looked like and all of the different various lots and different non-conforming structures that are there in the neighborhood. So it seems like it's very consistent with what's already in the neighborhood. It meets all the bulk standards and provides air, light, and open space, so I will vote yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we are complete. Doctor, congratulations. Your client here. Your client here, Brian? Your client here?
No.
No, he's not here, okay. Well, it is complete. Give them our congratulations.
I think he got pumped off the spirit. Couldn't come up here from Florida.
Okay. Give them our congratulations. Thank you to the professionals.
I know that.
You're out there walking his dogs. It's very good. Thank everyone.
Bye. Have a good evening.
You good?
Not yet. Not yet.
Nobody made a motion to adjourn.
Should be on the record.
Yes. We are on the record. We are on the record, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay. At this time, we're going to continue with the rest of the meeting. We do have, Roger has some discussion of some new ordinances that we're going over. He'd like to brief you on them. And because we're moving at these at a relatively rapid pace. So with that, any further ado, Roger, And then Leo, you're welcome to chime in as needed. Roger, it's all yours.
Just to keep it brief, we've had some cases where our bulkhead ordinance is not up to snuff, mainly the Bayside bulkhead ordinance. So there has been a project that's supposed to be coming from the board that is hard to enforce something when it's not in the law to, clearly in the law to make them do something in regard to installing a new bulkhead. The ordinance makes reference to if you have a vacant lot, you can't sell that lot unless they put a new bulkhead in there. Doesn't say anything about a lot with a house on it. So people were getting money, to me, and to the city, with the city engineer and some of the fathers, we all agree that it doesn't make sense if you're getting FEMA money to lift a house, but not put a new bulkhead in and put everybody else at risk. So what I did is I wrote a new ordinance, I used samples from other towns, read up on it, and it adds a lot of teeth to our ordinance, where if you do substantial improvement, if you do a house lift on your own, if you do substantial damage, a new structure, and the bulkhead that's there is inadequate, you have to put a new bulkhead in at elevation 8 or up to 9. I also put a little something in there if you have a property that sits higher than elevation 9, because the ordinance says if you have a bulkhead, it has to retain all the earth behind it. So what happens if you have your land is at elevation 10? You can't put a bulkhead higher. So we're fixing that. We're putting in some mechanisms in there. There's no fee for bulkhead review. It should be reviewed by an engineer, not the construction official, because it's not under UCC. Right now it is kind of leading down that path. It should be reviewed by zoning and an engineer. So we'll put a substantial review fee in there and also a substantial escrow fee. And the reason for the escrow fee is it gives that person reason to submit an as-built survey showing that the elevation is in fact meeting the ordinance. They'll get most of the escrow back, but it provides some reasoning for that. It basically takes a section out of fences and walls in the land use ordinance, and we're creating a whole new chapter just for bulkheads. The reason for that is if I am a layperson or if I'm out of town and I want to know what your bulkhead requirements are, it's easier to find the chapter for bulkheads versus I gotta go to this chapter, I gotta go to that chapter, taking care of the business. And also the ordinance reflected materials, it required you to use materials that you're not allowed to use anymore. So we cleared that up. We don't specify any materials other than what's approved by DEP and Army Corps of Engineers. We don't say you have to use composite, vinyl, or anything. We just take that requirement out. They have to meet whatever's currently allowed. So that's basically it. It will go to the governing body for first reading at some point. We're hoping to get it done for this for tomorrow, but that's not going to happen. So probably 2 weeks or whenever. Yeah, 2 weeks to meeting end. But it's going to come to the board because there is a land use element being removed, and there's a land use element being put back in for the fee section. So I just wanted to let you know that's what it's about.
Yeah, I think it's excellent.
Yeah. Now we have done the same thing with other parts of the ordinance. We're taking them, well, they're a conglomeration all over, and pulling at the one spot. So that's actually what was already occurred in certain areas. But I think Roger's done an excellent job. This is something that's come up relatively rapidly, and we've had to get it done rapidly, working with city engineer, commissioners, our. Leo in the background here, he's in here too, thick and thin with it too. So, but Roger's been carrying the ball, and thank God we have it, Roger.
Is there any applications in the process that could be grandfathered in before?
There is one that's withdrawn.
Okay.
So if it's a new application and it's in effect at the time, and we're trying to work a compromise with one in particular. But yeah, there are other applications where we're going to need this ordinance in place.
So as it is right now, the only time you need a new bulkhead is if you're selling a vacant lot. Yeah. It has to be in before you sell the lot?
Before you get a CO, yeah.
Hmm. No.
Certificate of authorization to make that transfer.
To sell it, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Or on a new construction.
And also, there's stipulation where you have a newer bulkhead, but it's kind of falling apart. You should be allowed to make certain repairs without having to spend $100,000 on a new bulkhead, but we put in there, if your expenses to repair that bulkhead accumulate to a certain amount, you got to put the new bulkhead in. Otherwise, it's not a repair anymore.
DEP will allow you to do a repair on the bulkhead.
If you replace in-kind, like say you have a couple of sheets, you know, three-quarter inch or one or three-inch sheets that go bad, that the old CCA,
right.
You could put two back in.
Yeah.
No.
But they won't let you do a full-blown repair on it.
No.
Does that same law still in effect where if the bulkhead's falling into the bed, you're losing ground, and you can put an emergency bulkhead in and then apply to the state for a permit?
I believe that's a state allowance, yes. Yeah. Somebody asked, usually the city engineer will declare an emergency because it's not just an emergency for that property. Other properties are affected. So the public good, you can declare an emergency on that and take temporary measures to stabilize the shore.
Okay. Is there anything else that, any other ordinances you're working on at this time that they should?
Yeah, the ordinances that we reviewed, all the changes that we reviewed with the boardwalk and the setbacks, I actually incorporated some of those items in this just so we aren't redundant and we don't have to come back twice to fix that.
Right.
But yes, that everything that we put on a shelf before, we're taking off the shelf and we're going to relook at that.
So the seawall.
Tweak a little bit of it.
The seawall. The height of the boardwalk. I think we had the gates, the walkways going into the onto the boardwalk. All of that.
The only thing that's really still kind of left open is how high that first level deck would be,
right,
relative to the boardwalk. And I think the last time I remember, we agreed no higher than 3 feet.
That was our discussion.
Higher than a boardwalk, right?
Yes.
Right. And the railing for a boardwalk is typically 36 to 42 inches.
Right.
And it's not UCC compliant, so.
So.
Or yeah, jurisdiction.
That's what's been going on behind the scenes, working at other meetings that we've been attending along the way. Notwithstanding that, we still have the R7 to look at. And I don't know where we're going to find the time. So the only thing I've come up with is some brilliant plan of adding an extra meeting. That we all just come, nothing's scheduled, but we just do zoning. All we talk about, which is what our job is, really. And, or else we're not going to get it done. We didn't get anything done last year in that regard, so this year we have to do it. So I'll work with Carmella and try to pull the board a little bit, but I hate to do that to you, but I don't have a better solution. I mean, adding a little time before a meeting isn't going to work. But we'll get too involved in things and then have to quit.
Right.
So I'd rather have a couple, maybe two good meetings, get it all done, and get prepped on ahead of time.
Well, our meetings have been so long.
Yeah, for
they've
the most
been
long.
Part too, you know.
But you know, these we get some prepped on ahead of time,
right,
and everybody get prepared. We can go right through this. It's not a hard thing to do if it's prepared right. And it's easy to understand it. This board's got the acumen to do it. We can go through this relatively quickly. Got the experience and the acumen. So it's not like it's difficult. The big thing with the R7 is going to be is looking at some creative solutions for how what the options are to parcel the land out in different ways. And whether or not we want to do fill-in for duplexes, if there's a block with, say, 18 units on it, all duplexes, do we just allow the rest of it, the remaining four or so, go duplex? Things like that.
And I don't think you're starting from zero. You and Roman have some work.
We have done a lot of work. Roman and I have done a lot of work on this already. So we have, even to the point of having new sheets in big sheets for so everybody can see the inventory of lots. We want to go back to being able to count lots, sizes of lots, locations, see what they are on one side, the other side, and then come up with a plan. And I think one of the things that remember when we said we had the little listening thing a while back? We actually changed the format of the meeting in five minutes. We want to do that again. That was very good. And I think the brain trust here has got it. So I like to draw upon it again. So maybe the next meeting we can do a little bit of a 15-minute session on. We just listen to you guys and see what you come up with about anything and everything that we're doing. Because last time was productive, very productive. So that's all I know. Go with what works. So with that, Leo, you have anything further?
I don't.
Roger?
No.
Carmella?
No.
May I have a motion, or do you have any comments you wish to make?
No, I think it's really gives confidence to see that you're doing so much good work behind the scenes. I like that. It makes our job when we get here easier when it's that defined. And, you know, that's what you're doing.
That's the only way you can move things through a meeting.
Well, I think, in my opinion, we've actually simplified the ordinance in a lot of instances, except for the dormers. Right. I think the dormer part... We're going to eliminate all dormer requirements other than allow a certain percentage of that half-story to be dormers.
That's it.
Anyway, but that's been a big evolution of dormers and so on, so we've come to the conclusion, well, we didn't do so well on that one, so we'll just make it simple and be done with it.
Yeah, but the whole building, roof slope envelope, getting rid of that, I mean, it just made it easier for Jimmy's job to review it. Otherwise, you have to sit there and draw it out. And
Yeah.
If you have a dull pencil or a sharp pencil, it makes a difference by a foot.
Now, another thing I should be able to say, this is correct, is that Roger does go out, and after we've approved cases and near the end, Roger is looking at those and inspecting those as well, of course.
Making friends along the way.
Yeah, and making friends. So I want everybody to know is that after there's a vote and there's a thing going on and it gets built, one of our representatives is also looking at it and inspecting it on our behalf.
We haven't now.
We've been doing it for a couple of years. So it's been going on for several years and we forgot to mention it.
Well, I think it's great because if people, you know, sometimes took advantage once they got their permit,
Forget what they promised.
So many things I look at that we built that I know we had conditions on.
Right. Well, Roger has a very sharp wit and a very, very nice pencil and pen, and he takes great photos too.
Great.
So nothing left goes undocumented. But I, there's things that are happening behind the scenes that I think complement your efforts, and that's the whole idea. Is that, now I don't want to be here wasting time. I want to do something productive, and that's it. So that's what we do. We do best. And with that, may I have a motion for adjournment, please?
I'll make the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Let's win.